You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, folks. Wanted to do this primer on the Fantasy Premier League contest or league, I guess you would call it, format. Just so folks wants to follow along with their Premier League team and do it in a different way with fantasy. The Premier League game hosted through the Fantasy Premier League. So if you go to the Barclays Fantasy Premier League site, they have a section for their fantasy league. So it's a free fantasy league. Obviously, there are private contests you could join or set up yourself. But overall, it's free, you know, and you just compete against everyone across the world globally. And you see how large the game is. You know, I think by last check, across the spectrum of how many people are playing the Fantasy Premier League game, I believe it's over 10 million people like in contests again this year. It's loaded. I mean, you're competing against millions of people, like in terms of players. Maybe it's not 10 million. I mean, it might be only 8, but it's like, you know, you've still got a significant number of people that you're playing in these leagues against, you know, and it's just selecting players. And, you know, in terms of the format, you have your starting set of players. You know, you have your starting 11, you know, just as you would with any soccer match. You got 11 players on the pitch. Or the field, and your roster construction in fantasy. You don't do a typical draft like you would in for NFL fantasy. Instead, you are drafting your team from scratch, and you have a budget of $100 million to work with to draft 15 players. So, you know, players have their specific salary. Obviously, the better the player, the more expensive they are. And you have to construct your lineup accordingly. And, you know, the interesting part about all of this is the fact that, you know, there are different routes you can do in terms of construction, because you could load up on star players. You could have more role players or bench players. Let me be clear. You don't want bench players. Like, if guys aren't regularly starting for your fantasy team, you don't want to be playing them in this format, because every start matters. So if a guy is more of a rotation player and he comes off the bench, it's harder to make it work more than anything else in having guys you know, come off the bench and not regularly start. You want to have those fantasy points for minutes played, because you do get points for total minutes played, a point for like entering a contest. And after you get 60 minutes of playing time, you get your second point for playing. So it does become a big deal in terms of playing time, bench players versus actual starters. But yeah, in terms of the format and how things kind of go, points kind of vary by position as well. So you get points for assists and most importantly goals, but the points allocated for assists and goals vary based off of your position. So goals scored by the striker up top, you get 4 points for each goal. In terms of midfielders, you get 5 points for every goal scored. And for defensive players, you get 6 points for each goal. So you do get more value from certain positions. If they're attacking defensive players, you want to have those players on your squad. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is far more valuable having some of these more offensive defensive players on your roster as opposed to just a defender who may get a clean sheet, but if they're not attacking, it's a lot harder to justify. And again, pricing matters a lot. So there's actually one player who is not owned and needs to be owned in your roster. And that is one name I'm going to drop. He plays for Liverpool. He's going to be a starter this year. He goes by the name of Kostantinos Tsimikas. That is Tsimikas with a T, T-S-I-M-I-K-A-S. He's only £4 in game pricing. You have to have him on your roster. He is going to be in Liverpool's winger position, and the way Liverpool plays defense, they have those wingers attacking down the side. So you have Trent Alexander-Arnold being very offensive. You have Andrew Robertson, also offensive, but he's also good. They usually have the winger, so out on the outside. So Alexander-Arnold and Tsimikas are supposed to be the wingers in Liverpool's formation. You're going to have Robertson attacking more as well compared to most center backs, but because Virgil van Dijk, he can afford to, which is, again, is why I talk about knowing who's healthy, who's not. It makes a difference. But Tsimikas is so cheap, you have to have him in your roster. I'll say that from the outset to folks when setting up their team. Tsimikas got to be in your roster. I would also say Trent Alexander-Arnold should be in your roster, but Alexander-Arnold is 7'5". Tsimikas is 4. You do the math. It makes a lot of sense having both, but if you're only playing one Liverpool defender, Tsimikas got to be in there. No question about it. Tsimikas, definitely, you got to have him in there. In terms of pricing, you know, defenders aren't going to score all that often, which is why I mentioned Liverpool's defensive setup. They're going to be very offensive, so it makes sense to target them, and the best way to target them is by having Tsimikas. But, you know, in terms of overall budgeting, you know, realistically, you want, if you got $100 million, like, you really want to have your goalkeepers account for no more than 10 of that $100 million, at most 10, between the starter, because you have to, out of the 15 players, you have to have one starter and one backup. So for the goalkeepers, you got to have 2 goalkeepers. For the defenders, you have to have 5 defenders. You have to start a minimum of 3 defenders, so you can't just all load up on strikers. But you know, so you at least have 2 defenders on the bench, but the goalkeepers got to have 2, so no more than, I would say no more than 10 realistically for your budget to allocate for your keepers, because you need to have money to spend for offense and defense. Defense, you got 5 players. You're effectively trying to put together a defense for about a quarter of your budget. So, you know, you're looking at it like $100 million in terms of or £100, so like however math you're equating for what the true value of these players are for fantasy purposes. you want to have a quarter of that allocated to defense for five players. So again, doing the math, you got 25 for five, so an average of five per player. That's why I'm saying Samikas, realistically, he's got to be in your roster. It makes too much sense. He's going to be offensive. He's going to be cheap. It's a complete misprice. The folks doing this did not do their research on Liverpool and how they were going to use certain players. Samikas earned a starting job. You got to have him in your lineups, in my opinion. Kind of putting together a roster like Samikas, like it being four, it allows you to fit in a couple of different defenders as well. Like I'm saying, and just makes it worthwhile. So, I would certainly go down that route in terms of roster construction. Then as you kind of move along, putting together your midfield, you know, this is where the bulk of your salary is going to be spent. I know some folks will go even so much as allocating 50% of their budget to the midfield because you have so many creative players that can generate offense. I wouldn't go that far. I think you can go somewhere in the 40s, anywhere from 40 to 45% of your budget being allocated to the midfield makes a ton of sense because, yes, you want to have three dominant midfielders that are the primary set piece takers on their teams. So free kicks, penalty kicks, you want to have those types of players just because it's a good way of scoring goals because not every striker is going to be the set piece taker. They're not going to take PKs. So, again, kind of doing the research and looking through players of who's doing what makes a ton of sense. So guys like Kevin De Bruyne makes sense. Mo Salah for Liverpool, even though he's functions more as a striker, he actually qualifies as a midfielder. He plays the false nine position, so it works. Bruno Fernandes for United, absolutely. Yeah, he's the PK taker for United. He's the man who creates all the scoring chances for their offense. He's expensive. He's 12. Salah, you're probably running about, I think it's 11.5. That was last year. He got priced up. He's 12.5 this year. So that's what I'm saying. It's expensive to draft these guys. So if you're drafting them, you got to be able to find more budget players that are going to have opportunities to score. Saeed Benrahma for West Ham is an option. He's only going to run you about six in terms of salary. You got Josh Brownhill for Burnley, cheap. He's 4.5. Does a lot of crosses. Might be able to generate some offense. You're not looking for Burnley to score a ton, but you do want to have, one budget guy to lower the salary cost so you can fit in more expensive midfielders that will play a number of minutes. And then, your bench guy, yes, he can start. Maybe he might get a couple of points here and there, but realistically, you're using him as the salary saver in a way for your roster construction. And then finally, you got the strikers. And, again, I know some folks go crazy on strikers, so they go less on midfield and more into strikers, where they may allocate 30% or more of their budget to strikers. I would say your allocation for strikers should be about 20 to 25% of that 100-pound mark, because strikers are very hard to find in consistent goals from. And the thing of it is that, if the striker's not getting service, they're just not going to score that many goals. So it's one of those catch-22s where you're better off having access to the midfielders that are generating chances than necessarily the strikers. But for the strikers, you know, you got to have them. And it's good to have at least one that's a consistent goal scorer, or at least drawing the bulk of the shot opportunities for their teams to make it worthwhile. So a lot of times you're kind of looking at how many shots your striker may have in a game. You know, just looking through some of the numbers, because that's where it kind of at least gives you an idea of, you know, how many chances were created, how much agency they have, and they're getting access to the ball. And, you know, the fantasy league will also indicate, you know, who is having influence on the game. They'll rank the strikers throughout the season, so you at least have an idea of who's doing well, who's not doing so well. And also, if you check, once you start setting up your team, if you start checking through the transfers, you'll see there'll be search options for by position, who's the most owned players, who's transferred the most. So when you select your team, that team is set up for the season, if you want to leave it that way. But realistically, you're going to be changing that team throughout the season. It's just that you're usually limited to one free transfer per week, unless you save that transfer for the following week. Then you can make two transfers in a week. You can't stock up as many transfers as you want. They cap it at two. So realistically, they want you being attentive to the game at least twice a week, just so you can see who's doing what on your roster. And the interesting thing about the Premier League game is that the value of your players changes over time. So if your players are doing well, they're going to increase in value as more owners transfer your players into their squads, so bumping up the value of your team. If your players aren't doing so well, owners are going to sell them and transfer them out into the market, and it makes it less valuable, and the value of your team goes down. So when you're trying to make those changes to your roster, your team value could go down, or your value may have been increased, and it makes it easier for you to transfer in other players that have the same or lesser value of your current squad member. So you know, it's an interesting dynamic to kind of work off of, and how you employ certain strategies. So I'll get into that further during the year as I kind of explain my transfer strategies and what I'm looking to do. But, you know, I just wanted to kind of do this initial primer just so you guys have an idea. So the cheap plays at forward that I would suggest would be Danny Ings for Aston Villa at 8. And you also have Ivan Toney at Brentford, who's 6'5". Toney, I'm not as sure about. Ings, I know, will be scoring goals. He will be a consistent goal scorer. Mikaela Antonio for West Ham, also going to be a goal scorer. He's 7'5". These are all builds that I would say I'm going to have a combination of these guys. Maybe I'll have all three of them, but the reason why you want them in your forward spot is they're cheap enough where they're not in the double-digit range of some of the other strikers you may see, and it gives you flexibility in terms of allocating more resources to the midfield, which I think is the better way of going about it, and it allows you to fit in some of the more premium defenders, like an Alexander Arnold or an Andrew Robertson, that will be scoring points on the back end and the defense side. So, you know, it makes sense in terms of your roster construction to kind of go about it that way. So I'll leave that off for here. You know, obviously the season just started. It's going to be taking up the bulk of the year because it's 38 games for the Premier League. So you got 38 weeks of fantasy Premier League week set up to go through. So I think it's a fun game. You don't have to take it seriously. There are people who do take it extremely seriously, and how they are ranked and how important their top rank is in terms of getting into top 1,000 or whatever benchmark they're going by But it is fun to play the game and kind of seeing how your team performs throughout the year. So I would highly recommend folks to join. You can join at any point during the year as well. It's just that, you know, your points are accrued from when you join the game. So obviously it makes sense to join now before the season starts. But, you know, like I said, you can join at any point during the season and the game will allow you to play regardless. So, you know, have a crack at it. It is fun. So give it a shot. And, you know, I'll do some content on it throughout the year as to how I'm managing my roster build and kind of go from there. So that's all for now. But hope you guys enjoyed the primer and best of luck in your fantasy team development for Premier League. Until next time, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.